ever sign a contract and think, okay, my LLC's got this, I'm protected, only to find out maybe it wasn't set up quite right.
Oh, that's a thought that can keep you up at night.
Absolutely. And that's the heart of this case we're diving into today, Duray Development, LLC v. Perrin.
A Michigan case that really has people talking, you know?
Yeah.
About when an LLC might not actually be an LLC.
Yeah, and it goes way beyond just, you know, construction issues or whatever.
Definitely. The implications are pretty broad, actually.
So to set the scene a bit, we need to rewind back to 2004. We've got Robert Munger's company, Duray Development. They buy some land in Caledonia Township, Michigan.
Right, for a residential project. They called it Copper Corners.
And, of course, they need some excavation work done. Enter Carl Perrin and his excavation companies.
And this is where things get interesting. See, it wasn't just one contract. There were two.
Yeah, the first one was with Perrin's existing companies. But then they drew up a second one with a brand new LLC that Perrin was forming, Outlaw Excavating, LLC. The plan was for that second contract to take over once Outlaw was, well, official.
Okay, sounds pretty standard so far. What's the catch?
The catch is Outlaw wasn't officially filed as an LLC when that second contract was signed. We're talking October 27th.
Uh-oh.
It didn't actually get filed until November 29th, a full month later.
I think I see where this is going. So what happened? Did everything just kind of fall apart?
Pretty much. Duray claimed shoddy work, missed deadlines, you name it. Perrin countered, saying Duray owed him money. Classic construction dispute, right? Accusations flying everywhere.
It's another contract dispute.
Well, not quite. This is where the procedural drama really kicks in. So first, Duray wins by default. Perrin didn't respond to the lawsuit in time.
Ah, deadlines.
Exactly. Never sleep on those. But then that default judgment gets reversed.
Oh, a twist.
Right. So it goes to trial, and that's where things went south for Perrin, really south.
I'm guessing the court didn't rule in his favor.
Not even close.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did they find against him on the breach of contract, but they slapped him with a bill for over $96,000. And get this, they said he's personally liable.
Ouch. All because Outlaw wasn't a valid LLC at the time?
Exactly.
So what does that mean for him practically? How does personal liability even work in this situation?
Well, normally an LLC is like a shield, right? Protects your personal stuff from business debts.
Right.
But because Outlaw was an official, that shield was gone. It's like Perrin himself signed the contract, putting his house, car, savings, everything on the line.
So just planning to form an LLC isn't enough?
Nope. Got to have that paperwork filed and filed correctly.
So this case brings up a legal concept we hear about sometimes. The
de facto corporation doctrine.
Yeah, that's the one. Sort of like a safety net, right?
Yeah.
For business owners who, you know, try to do things right, but maybe miss a technicality.
Like a spare tire.
Yeah.
You hope you never need it, but boy, are you glad it's there when you do.
Exactly. So did that doctrine come into play here? Did the appeals court side with Perrin?
Well, this is where it gets really interesting. The Michigan Court of Appeals actually said that this de facto corporation idea should apply to LLCs.
Even though the trial court said it didn't.
Yeah. They looked at Michigan's LLC Act and its corporate laws. They saw the similarities and basically said, look, it wouldn't be fair to treat LLCs differently.
So they were cutting Perrin some slack, basically, saying he was trying to do things the right way.
In a way, yeah. Recognizing that business, you know, isn't always perfectly neat and tidy, and that the law should maybe reflect that sometimes.
Interesting. So this is a case about a lot more than just one contract dispute then.
Absolutely. It's about how courts are looking beyond the strict letter of the law and considering intent.
Like legal grace almost.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay, so lots to unpack here. We've got contract disputes, missed deadlines, and this whole de facto corporation doctrine. But before we go deeper into that, I think we need to talk about what happened with Perrin's witnesses.
Yeah, so the trial court, they actually barred all of Perrin's witnesses.
Wait, seriously?
Yep. He missed a deadline to file his witness list.
So on top of everything else, he couldn't even call witnesses to, like, defend himself.
That's right. And the appeals court, they weren't too happy about that. They actually overturned that decision, said it was an abuse of discretion by the trial court.
So even though they seemed to be, you know, somewhat sympathetic to Perrin's situation with the LLC, they weren't going to let this slide.
Exactly. They basically said, look, courts need to keep things organized, enforce deadlines, sure, but the punishment needs to fit the crime, you know,
right.
Barring all his witnesses. That meant Perrin couldn't even tell his side of the story.
Yeah, that doesn't seem very fair.
Not at all. It goes against basic due process.
What could the trial court have done differently then? Like, what are the options in that situation?
Well, instead of just, you know, this all or nothing approach, they could have fined him, maybe given him more time to file that witness list, or they could have limited what his witnesses were allowed to talk about.
So it's about finding that balance. Okay, let's get back to that de facto corporation doctrine. It's supposed to be a safety net, but what are the like specific rules? How do you know if it applies?
Think of it like a four-legged stool.
Okay.
If one leg is missing, the whole thing collapses.
Gotcha.
So all four of these conditions have to be met for the de facto corporation doctrine to apply.
Hit me with those four legs then.
Okay. First, there has to be a valid law in place that allows for forming that type of corporation.
So in this case, the Michigan LLC Act.
Right. Second, the person forming the corporation has to have made a real good faith effort to follow that law. They weren't just ignoring the rules.
It sounds like Perrin was trying, at least just messed up the timing. What are the other two legs?
Third, the business actually has to have acted like a corporation.
So like Outlaw Excavating actually doing the work, operating like a real business.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, there can't be any, you know, shady business practices, no intent to deceive anyone.
So this doctrine isn't a get out of jail free card if you're doing something sneaky.
Not at all. It's about giving a second chance to people who stumble, but they were genuinely trying to do the right thing.
Okay, that makes sense. So how does the DeRay case fit into all this?
Well, it really highlights how this de facto corporation thing might apply to LLCs, you know, which could have some pretty big implications.
Yeah, I can see how this case would have lawyers and business owners like paying attention. So what's the takeaway for our listeners?
The big one. Don't mess around with that LLC paperwork.
File first. Sign contracts later.
You got it. Get that LLC in order before you do anything else. This case really shows how important it is to cross your T's and dot your I's. An ounce of prevention, you know?
For sure. And what if there are delays? Because sometimes things happen, right? What then?
Document everything. Seriously, keep records of everything you do to file, anything you talk about with the state, any problems you run into. It's all about having that paper trail that proves you were trying to do things right.
That's good advice. And this case is a big reminder that those deadlines and lawsuits, yeah, those are serious.
Absolutely. DeRay shows what can happen if you don't respect them.
Okay, so we've talked about LLC formation, deadlines, the de facto doctrine. But there's another piece to this DeRay case that I think is really interesting.
What's that?
It's not just about these specific people involved. This case speaks to a bigger trend we're seeing in the legal world.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
It's like courts are getting more comfortable applying ideas from corporate law to LLCs.
You're right, kind of blurring the lines between the two.
Right. So what does that mean for, you know, business owners and lawyers out there? What should they be thinking about?
Well, it means we all need to stay up to date. The legal landscape is changing. You can't just know LLC law anymore. You have to understand how it connects with corporate law, how courts are interpreting all of it.
It's a lot to keep track of.
It is, but that's what makes it so interesting, right?
That's true. This DeRay case really is like a crash course in the tricky parts of law.
For sure.
It's a reminder that the legal world isn't always black and white. There are so many nuances.
And that's what makes law so fascinating, right?
Absolutely. It's constantly evolving, each case adding another layer. So we've talked about, you know, the possible downsides of this de facto corporation idea. Like, could it make people kind of sloppy about setting up their LLCs properly?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But what about the opposite? Could this actually be like a good thing for new businesses?
Interesting question. Yeah, I mean, it could definitely give some wiggle room to those who are, you know, really trying to do everything by the book, but they trip up on some little technicality.
Right.
It's like saying, look, we get it. You're putting in the effort. We're not going to, you know, come down on you hard for a small mistake.
Yeah.
That kind of flexibility could actually encourage more people to, you know, take that leap and start their own business, not be so afraid of every little legal thing.
It's a tough balance, though, right?
Yeah.
We want to encourage entrepreneurship and all that, but we also need to make sure people are responsible for their actions.
Exactly. Accountability is important.
Yeah.
And the legal system, it has to, you know, hold up, maintain its integrity.
This DeRay case really makes you think about all that, huh?
It does. The spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. It's a classic dilemma.
Okay, so to wrap things up, we've covered a lot today. The importance of forming your LLC on time. Respecting those court deadlines, the ins and outs of the de facto corporation doctrine, and all the implications that come with it.
It's a lot.
It is. But this DeRay development, LLC v. Perrin case, it's a big one. It could really change how we think about LLCs and the legal rules that apply to them.
Absolutely. This case is a wake-up call for anyone in business. Doesn't matter if you're, a seasoned entrepreneur or just starting out.
Right.
You need to get good legal advice, understand those little details in business law, and just stay informed, because things are always changing.
Well said. And that's it for our deep dive into Deray Development, LLC v. Perrin. Hope you all learned something new today.
Always good to be learning.
Absolutely. Knowledge is power, especially in this world of business and law. So stay curious, everyone, and keep diving deep.